Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield. I think you're really going to dig today's episode with Joe DiStefano. And by the way, I wanted to apologize for Wednesday's podcast where my voice sounded very echoey. I had my microphone settings way messed up, and now I have a giant piece of tape in front of my desk that says microphone on it in black Sharpie, reminding me to ensure that the microphone settings are indeed set up to make this a good listening experience for you.
Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/benG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. airdoctorpro.com/benG. You'll get up to 39% off or up to $300 off, so lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor.
In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show...
When you put your body, no matter how injured or old you are, into this correct position, your brain has a tendency to say, oh, I remember that. And more or less accelerate your strength, your rehab, your performance, your posture, your breathing.
If I'm in the airport, I'll just drop down, put on a Rage Against the Machine song and hold a plank, a high plank, a high push-up, an FLR, whatever we want to call it. I'll do 5-minute holds of that.
When we take a real proper breath, as an infant does, our kidneys, our organs are moving matters of centimeters with those proper breaths.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and last week I went totally off the grid and went rafting in the Grand Canyon. And part of that, I didn't really realize this until I got about a day in, involved a forced digital detox because the Grand Canyon doesn't really have any cell phone reception, and there aren't exactly computers or internets or Starbucks at the beaches that you pull into. So I came out of that digital detox experience pretty nervous about like what my email inbox would look like and how many voicemails and text messages I'd have and what kind of fires that I need to put out on the business front. But amazingly, things were pretty good. It took me maybe 2.5 hours to catch up on email, and none of my clients died, and most of them got through their workouts just fine without me. And the post office was still delivering mail to my home. And more importantly, my body and my brain felt very good. They felt clean. They felt detoxed. And my guest today, Joe DiStefano, he's all about the digital detox. And we're going to talk about digital detox and a whole lot more in today's episode. But Joe is not, despite being someone who does certainly endorse having at least some point during the year where you step away from your cell phone. He's not a hairy hippie living in the woods, as I've been accused of. Instead, Joe's actually the co-founder of Spartan Coaching, and that's the world's first international obstacle race training certification program, which, by the way, I'm actually headed down to Dallas in 2 days, in about a week to take myself that certification program. Joe studied sports science at Fitchburg State University. He's got a master's in sports psychology. He's certified in a ton of things. This guy has more alphabet letters after his name than most folks I know in the industry. He's a performance enhancement specialist, corrective exercise specialist, strength conditioning specialist. He's trained at the Czech Institute in holistic nutrition. And he's worked in everything from health and performance to serial entrepreneurship. And he's really known as the go-to guy at Spartan Racing when it comes to coaching, learning how to do obstacle courses, learning holistic nutrition, etc. And I love talking to Joe. We're friends. We geek out. Joe, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Ben. What's happening, man? Thank you for that intro. Very nice. Good job.
Yeah. Well, I try to make you sound good when I can. We'll see how the rest of the podcast goes, though. If I decide to throw you under the bus, it'll happen. Anyways, though, the last time, let's start in here. The last time I was over at your house was like right before I went and did the Agogi, the Spartan Agogi, like 38 degrees below zero over in Burlington, Vermont. But you and I had a chance to hang out at your house for a little while. And you were big time into this concept of using a ski ergometer, like this stand-up ski ergometer device. You were swearing by it for like your go-to fitness device. Is that still your weapon of choice for getting fit?
It is, man. It's definitely my weapon of choice. I don't plan on hanging it up anytime soon. I just think that Concept 2 just really nailed it with this machine. And like you saw in my house, it fits right up against the wall and creates beasts. So anything that does that is good in my book.
Okay, so how does this thing, like, why would this be better than like an air assault bike trainer or a Concept 2 rowing machine or anything like that? Like, why this upright ski erg?
Well, yeah, you know, and I'm always looking at things through the lens of an obstacle racer, right? So right off the bat, you know, you're upright. You're not cramped into a rower. You're not sitting on a bike. You're upright. You're on your 2 feet, just like you're going to be during the races. So right away, you know, anytime a machine or quote unquote machine kind of gets you up, I'm into that. You're on the ground. You're grounded. Second to that, right, it's almost the opposite to me of everything else we do. And when you think about kind of my whole philosophy on fitness and training, and more importantly, kind of level setting people's posture, diaphragm function, et cetera, the ski erg just ties so nicely into that because it is kind of countering almost everything else we do. If you compare the ski erg to a kettlebell swing, it's almost the exact opposite. So instead of pushing the weight, you're pulling yourself almost into that same hip hinge position. So from a sort of muscle balance perspective, we've got it nailed. And then, you know, as an obstacle racer, you know, what better machine? Something you're standing on 2 feet, building a ton of strength, endurance, and really using the upper body in almost any way you want. You can do heavy stuff. You can do short sprints. You can do 2K, 5K. It's a magical machine. I could probably talk all day about it.
Are they super expensive?
No, man. I think, what was it? $800, something like that. It's really inexpensive. I think it's cheaper than almost any other.
Compared to like a home gym.
Compared to a home gym, compared to a treadmill, I think my treadmill is like $3,500.
Well, you know, my go-to device for my go-to method for any of these fancy devices is I'll go to Craigslist because usually there's some rich person who bought it and it's sitting in their garage and they'll like almost pay you to come get it from them.
Without a doubt. And actually, since you brought it up, the air bikes, Craigslist, I've picked up three AD4 Airdynes over the years for between $100 and $150. So yes.
Yeah. Airdyne bikes are amazing. I was down in Austin, Texas at Paleo FX, and the guy I was staying with had an Airdyne bike on the patio of his condo. And I went out there every morning and did a Tabata set on the Airdynes, just 4 minutes of 20 seconds all out, 10 seconds off. And I mean, when it comes to getting a huge amount of non-impact bang for your buck, if you can grab an Airdyne air assault bike, like even off Craigslist, and again, like you said, Joe, there's people practically giving them away. Dude, awesome, awesome tool in the fitness arsenal.
Without a doubt. I mean, the two things that I currently have in my house are the AD4 Airdyne bike and the Ski Erg. So if that's any testament.
Awesome. Now, you also had over at your house this new coffee pot that you're messing around with, because I know that you're big into coffee and like trying out all sorts of new methods of making coffee. And it was like a hand pump, kind of like a espresso machine. Is that what you're still using to make coffee?
Yeah, you know, Ben, it's that thing got a little laborious.
it seemed kind of annoying.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm all about espresso. I really believe that, you know, caffeine is more or less like almost like a medication, right? That I like to pack a punch. I like espresso. I like the most benefit with the least amount of volume, right? So I'm super into espresso. That particular machine, the handheld pump thing, I think it was called the Waka something or other. No, it's a little laborious. The shots are a little bit, you know, I don't know. I hung it up. It's on the shelf of forgotten coffee makers right now. Yeah. So
what are you using now as a coffee aficionado?
All right. So, well, this might be a little bit funny, but ironically, over the years, let me kind of rewind. I think that rituals are super important. I think that making coffee is, you know, it's like sitting around a fire. It's just something you need to do. And I think that grinding the beans by hand is kind of the most important thing. No matter how you make them, take 5 minutes in the morning, grind the beans by hand, think about your day. It's very cool. It's ritualistic. It's something we need to do to kind of slow down and start our day. And then however you make the coffee, I'll mix it up. I'll do an AeroPress sometimes, or I've got a few other types. But you know what's hilarious is more often than not, and in a house with 10 different ways to make coffee and 5 different coffees to choose from typically, I go cowboy more often than not over the past couple of months. And I know you had some content that kind of went into how the filtration of coffee can rob some of those cognitive boosters and things
right.
like that.
Yeah, and especially paper filtration specifically filters out the coffeestol and the caweol from the coffee, which are two cholesterols that actually they act similarly to caffeine, but differently in that, you know, caffeine blocks the adenosine receptor that makes you sleepy. And these other two molecules enhance cognitive performance in different ways. So yeah, when you do like a paper filter method, any paper filter method, I think the AeroPress actually has the option for a metal filter. You get rid of these coffeestols and caweols. So yeah, cowboy coffee is what you're doing now.
It's what I do more often than not, and I'll do one of two ways. You know, if I don't feel like chomping on any grounds, then I do have a tea bag filter, like a little. It's kind of like a looks like almost like a coffee scoop, but it's got a filter on the end. And occasionally I'll pour it through that. So no filter. You still got that at the bottom of the mug. You'll still get some sludge. But I stir it up. And yeah, more often than not, I go cowboy if I'm at home.
You'll laugh at why I became such an expert at making cowboy coffee and not getting grounds in the actual vessel that I poured the cowboy coffee into. It's because of the article that I wrote a couple years ago about how to give yourself a coffee enema. I don't know if you saw this, but there's an article called How to Give Yourself a Bulletproof Coffee Enema on my website. Yeah. And coffee enemas, by the way, just full disclosure, twice a month I do a coffee enema. It's great for your liver, your gallbladder, cleaning out your colon, blah, blah, blah. And I know some of you probably are about to quit listening because of what I just said. But either way, the go-to method for making your coffee is 13 minutes of cowboy coffee style, where you put a bunch of grounds in like a cast iron skillet and you pour a bunch of water over that and you just let it simmer for about 13 minutes. And then you pour that ever so carefully, in the case of an enema, into an enema bucket, or in the case of normal consumption, into a mug. And if you do it right, you actually don't get a lot of the grounds and you get all of the bioactive components of the coffee. Plus, you feel like a badass because you're making cowboy coffee until you put it up your ass and feel like a woo-woo hippie. anyways, though, so hand coffee grinder plus AeroPress or cowboy coffee. I like it. One other question while we're geeking out on coffee. Have you seen the Chemex, the automatic
yep.
coffee maker?
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful machine. That's on my list of machines that I want to get. Although I believe that that still has a little bit of like a paper filtration option to it. I think you can do like a slow drip method with that one as well, or they have like a stainless steel type of filter you can use. But it's a beautiful, beautiful coffee maker. I'll put a link in the show notes if people want to see what it looks like. But it's called the Chemex, C-H-E-M-E-X Automatic. Because I had a Wilfa coffee maker, and that one kicked the can. So now I'm just French press or cowboy coffee.
Right.
All right. I didn't know we were going to talk so much about coffee. Anyways, though, let's get back into fitness. So you, the other thing you were talking about the last time I were at your house was this Prague method of training. And there was this guy named Raj, Dr. Raj from London, who I interviewed a few weeks ago. And he also brought up this Prague method of training. And I'm not too familiar with it, but can you describe it and why it's something that you're interested in as a training method right now?
Yeah, you know, the Prague school is, you know, they are just brilliant people. I've had the opportunity to take two, three, maybe four of their classes. I've done a few PRI classes as well. If folks are familiar with PRI here in the States, it's a similar methodology. It's not exactly the same. But DNS is, you know, in a nutshell, it's sort of this theory that's based on what we can call kind of positional mimics of developmental milestones that babies go through, right? So when you are an infant, you're going through these developmental milestones. When you're 3 months old, you can pick your head up a little bit, right? And maybe look around. When you're 9 months old, you can begin kind of getting into like a three-quarter squat. When you're 12 months old or more, you can kind of get upright. So what they've done is kind of created positional mimics of these that are kind of, their whole premise is essentially based on two things. Let me kind of rewind. The premise behind the DNS and the Prague School method is maximizing the efficiency of intra-abdominal pressure and more or less maximizing as best we possibly can in a sedentary culture, proper joint centration, namely in the hips and shoulders. Okay. So, and then the underlying theory, like I said, it's based in these different positions that you would breathe in and create intra-abdominal pressure that are based in this developmental idea that your nervous system controls everything, no matter how old you are. And that nervous system, the development of that nervous system in the first year or so of life is so profound that when you put your body, no matter how injured or old you are, into this correct position, your brain has a tendency to say, oh, I remember that. And more or less accelerate your strength, your rehab, your performance, your posture, your breathing exponentially.
Yeah, the website's weird. The website's almost humorous for it. Like if you go to rehabps.com, there's like posters of babies at like 3 months old doing like, you know, what would appear to be like the happy baby pose in yoga, or these different lunge positions that they're doing as they're crawling and developing and learning to stand. And then it's showing a human, like a human woman, mimicking each position that the baby is in. So is that more or less what you're doing, is getting into all these different developmental positions and learning how to breathe or train in those positions?
That's exactly it, Ben. So
super interesting.
When you go to the workshops, when you go through their education, you know, you spend a lot of time looking at babies and understanding how they move and how they progress through different movements. And you know what's funny is, so I was a client of people on the show have probably heard of Eric Cressy. Eric Cressy was my coach,
yeah,
maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago. And I was actually coming out of like a serious problem. I had fractured my skull. I had some residual kind of dystonia in my right side. So my right side wasn't really moving all that well. And, you know, my issue was I wanted to walk in a really straight line, and I couldn't do that. If we went to the mall together, you'd be like, dude, get off me.
How did you fracture your skull?
Kind of a long story. I was playing a sport that I should never play at my height and weight, and it was basketball. And randomly, the hoop decided to fall down. No, I wasn't dunking. I'm 5'6". The hoop fell down and landed on top of me and basically crushed my head.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was looking pretty grim for a while. I don't tell this story very often, but now it's out there. So yeah, like the right side of my head is a big plate in it, and I'm, you know, that might explain a lot, right? But kind of rewinding a little bit, so I went into some rehab and started to try to work on this because my issue was right left. My right was very hypertonic. And after that, I progressed and I decided to go, you know, hey, what better guy than Cressy? He's kind of a rehab guy, works with a lot of pro ball players. I had played baseball growing up. So I went to him. He was up the street from me. And he had me doing – he was my first touch with the DNS and PRI because obviously baseball guys have a lot of this pathology that really ties in nicely to this, whether it's posture or whatever. But I just decided at that time I'm going to do whatever this guy says. And the DNS stuff he was putting me through was way over my head. I just decided to shut up and do it. And what I noticed was it was accelerating my progress faster than anything I had done. And I had done a lot of stuff when I was trying to get my brain to fire. I was taking whiffs of peppermint. I was dripping coffee in my ears, like not coffee, but I was dripping hot water in my ears from my, like all this wild stuff. I would listen to anybody that say they could fix my right side. So this breathing stuff. So I would go like heavy set of trap bar deadlifts. I would come right off and go into one of these developmental positions, breathe for 7 or 8, 9, 10 cycles, go back into the deadlift and have exponentially more strength because you're maximizing joint centration, intra-abdominal pressure. And honestly, the DNS is what catapulted me. So I started to dabble. And then, I don't know, 3.5 years ago, started going through their education myself. And yeah, I'm using it now. I mean, it has transformed how I look at everything. I mean, I have athletes that I don't even stretch anymore because they're tight this or that is only because they're not pressurizing well in their abs and their wow. Dare I say core.
And so when you say DNS, by the way, it stands for Dynamic Neuromuscular Stabilization.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Prague School's system.
Interesting. Well, I'll link to this Prague School in the show notes, but it sounds very much like this guy, Dr. Eric Goodman, who I've had on the podcast before. And I recently read his new book, which is called True to Form. And it's comprised of somewhere between 15 and 20 different exercises you can use to decompress the spine. Typically, you're doing like a deep, what he calls a decompression style breathing sure. from deep within the navel as you perform these specific movements. Like he has one called the woodpecker and another one called the core foundation exercise. And typically, they're either lying on your stomach on the ground, they're lying on your back on the ground, or they're standing in like a squat position or standing with either your right leg or your left leg forward in a lunge position. When I look at these posters on this Prague School website, some of his exercises actually look very familiar. Have you tried these core foundation programs at all?
Not his, but I've done all the Prague School stuff, and they sound like they're awfully similar.
They sound very similar. As a matter of fact, I'm working on a blog post right now about how I've changed up my morning routine. I used to do like a bunch of like down dog yoga and sun salutations and just basic stretches for my morning routine. And I've begun using the program in the back of Dr. Eric Goodman's new book, this True to Form book, for my morning routine. And so they're more like these isometric positions that you hold as you do this deep decompression style breathing. And the goal is to decompress the spine, open up the organs and blood flow throughout the body. And then finally to, for lack of a better phrase, turn on the butt, right? And get the glute firing for the day. And it's changed my posture throughout the day. So it's really interesting. It sounds very similar.
Yeah, without a doubt. And what you'll find, Ben, too, is that what I've noticed with the DNS stuff is that certain people do better in different positions. So there might be, you know, 10 exercises that, you know, are good for this person. And you might get 80% of the benefit from two of them. And so those are the two that you tell somebody, hey, you know, if you got 1 second at the airport, this is the movement you do, or this is the position you get yourself into. And to your point, that whole breathing, I'm obsessed with breathing. I mean, it was the focus of the TED talk I did recently. It's everything. It's replaced stretching. It's replaced meditation. Not entirely, but there is so much we can learn from breath. And understanding that when we breathe, there's a lot of theories out there, right? Like draw your belly button in, push your belly button out, belly breathe, just don't chest breathe, you know, do this or do that. To your point about the organs and everything else, when we take a real proper breath, as an infant does, our kidneys, our organs are moving matters of centimeters with those proper breaths, the way that things more or less get out of the way when we fill that entire cavity with air. And that's what keeps them vital. And that's what keeps things moving. And that's what keeps them healthy. I've had to, you know, in the past, I've had like visceral manipulation done in my stomach. I've actually got it done down in maybe Central America, which sounds crazy, but it's not.
But people's organs literally adhere to each other internally because they're not getting that daily massage from this proper breath cycle. So there is, I mean, the benefits.
Super interesting. So you've actually had visceral manipulation done to assist with organ function.
Yes.
And you can do the same thing with proper breathing techniques.
Yes, there are people that are going to be so locked up viscerally from, you know, 30 years of dysfunctional breathing and having that lack of what I can call massage. And in those folks, just like I did, you just got to get someone to dig in there, whether it's a Rolfer or someone that's really trained in visceral stuff, and then this stuff will take on. But most folks, they start doing this stuff religiously. It took me 3 or 4 months to breathe into a certain place. So some of my DNS friends will be like, you know, breathe into this place. And maybe they'll put their finger, you know, way down like in your pubis. And you'll have to breathe right into that position, right into that spot. And when you start getting to the point where you can breathe exactly where people are putting their fingers, that's when you've really got it. That's when you're really dialed in.
Interesting. So can you give an example of how you would actually breathe into a spot? Like what exactly are you doing? Is it like through your nose, deep breathing? Are you like drawing in sharp breaths to target a specific spot? Are you jumping in an ice bath and doing Wim Hof style breathing? I mean, like what exactly is the breath protocol?
Yeah. So, well, the underlying theory is that when you take a proper breath, you should really get kind of 360 degree expansion of the entire torso. So if we want to say that the kidney should move a centimeter or two with a proper breath, that means if I put my hand on my back, then I should be able to feel that breath, right?
That's interesting, because usually you hear that it's just your sides that are supposed to expand.
I say the goal is 360 degree expansion.
Wow.
Sides, you should be able to breathe into your back, you should be able to breathe into your stomach, and most importantly, you should be able to breathe into your almost your genitals. You should be able to get the air so down there. And kind of to your point, right, there are things that we can do. If we think about different ways to activate pelvic floor and things like that, so I'll have people actually get into a developmental position. Maybe it's a kind of a supine, legs up, hips centrated position. Have them curl their toes. And this is another kind of developmental hack, right? Like a baby's laying there, their knees are kind of bowed out a little bit, their toes are curled. That's kind of activating pelvic floor, because a baby, from an intra-abdominal pressure standpoint, how long can you lie on your back with your knees and feet in the air? Probably a minute. I know I get tired quick, but a baby can sit like that for 10 hours, right?
Yeah.
So a baby has just perfect joint centration, perfect intra-abdominal pressure. And so we can take an adult, we can have them kind of lie on their back, supine, knees up, feet up. We can have them curl their toes. That's going to help them kind of activate some of their pelvic floor. And then I'll have them also purse their lips and breathe in through pursed lips. And typically between the toes and the pursed lips, that'll help get the air to the deepest areas of the torso. But
do you show any of this in your TED Talk, by the way?
I don't get too into it, but I do. I don't jump on stage and curl my toes or anything like that, but I speak to it, and we can link to that if you guys want.
Yeah, no, I already found the TED Talk, and I'll definitely link to it in the show notes. And by the way, for those of you listening in, I'll take copious notes here and put them at bengreenfieldfitness.com/joed. bengreenfieldfitness.com/joe. The letter D is in DiStefano. Anyways, though, so The one thing that comes to mind when you talk about visceral manipulation, and this breath work is fascinating, and I think that everybody should watch this talk. Looks like it's about 16 minutes long. So, and I had forgotten that you were going to give a TED talk, so I haven't even myself seen it. So I'm going to be watching that later on today on the plane. But anyways, what I've been using, and don't laugh, especially after my mention of enemas, is a car buffer. So I got a car buffer on Amazon. You can get the, I know they're, I've seen them being sold at Spartan races for ungodly amounts of money, but you can just purchase them or like a handheld vibrator device on Amazon. And I've done car buffering on my abdominals, right? Like complete relaxation, and literally just gone in there the same way as a massage therapist might. And I've gone left to right, like basically followed the entire large intestine left to right, and then back over the lower abdomen to the right at the very bottom. So just basically these giant left to right, these giant like clockwise circles of the abdomen. I've been doing this for about a week, and frankly, I've been pooping like a baby. Have you had any experience with visceral breath work or the use of a car buffer to enhance digestive function?
My experience with car buffers is limited. However, exactly what you're saying, I have done on a lot of people. So just recently, that works even without the car buffer. If you just have somebody lay down and take their shirt off or lift their shirt and you just massage in the exact same way that you just said, just with your hands, it works similarly. Mm. I would imagine you're doing the car buffer on yourself, I assume?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like standing there, relaxing. I haven't tried it lying on my back. That's an even better idea.
Yeah, so I do have experience with that, but I don't have a car buffer. But man, I'm going to have to jump on Amazon and get
Either the car buffer or the little, because I know you travel a lot, the little handheld massage devices, you know, that like they have like three little balls coming off of them that you'd use on your back or your traps.
Right.
You see them at the stores that sell the giant fancy massage chairs. That you can go sit in at the mall while your wife is shopping. Not that I've ever done that. But those tiny little handheld vibrators.
Right,
so that would also work. Now, speaking of travel, Joe, I know you travel a lot. And I wanted to ask you, because I know you have all these little like sleep hacks and everything for travel. And we've talked about sleep quite a bit on the show. But immune system, do you do anything special to ensure that you don't get sick when you're traveling all over the world for all these Spartan events that you're helping to put on?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, Ben, a lot of the stuff that I do currently I've ripped off of you. So this might be a repeat for some of your listeners. But generally speaking, you know, I do, and this actually ties into Paul Check. Paul Check always said, you know, oregano oil is the key to immune health on the road and when you're traveling. And so I load up on the oregano oil. I got oregano P73 super strength. I'll take that before.
What'd you call it? P73?
Yeah, it's called P73.
Huh. What's the P73 refer to?
That's a good question. I just buy it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You just buy it. You don't ask questions. Right, oregano. Yeah, I see it on Amazon. Oregano P73. Interesting. Because I sell like a wild Mediterranean oil of oregano at Greenfield Fitness Systems that, frankly, my aunt is my oil go-to. She does like our skin serum and our oregano and stuff like that. But I have never seen this P73. So do you go like straight sublingually or do you mix it in a glass of water? What do you do with it?
Yeah, so and definitely go super strength. Well, I guess if you're just starting out, maybe you don't. But I'll do it all sorts of different ways. Typically, I will drip it. It's an eyedropper, which I recently, it really sucks, but the third time that a bottle of oregano oil explodes in your bag is when you say, I'm going to switch to pills, even though I don't think that the pills are as good, because I think that 4, 5, 6, 7 drops of oregano into an ounce or two of water and then just shoot that, swirl it around your mouth for a minute, let it kind of trickle down your throat and then swallow. I think that you're kind of covering all your bases. So I really dislike the pills. Lately.
Yeah, well, the other thing with the oil is that I've found that some residue of it remains in your, and yeah, it is annoying, by the way, when it spills in your bag. That's happened to me many a time. But when you get it in your mouth, whether you're doing like a sublingual dropper under your tongue and swishing it around or in a glass of water, and then you're in a crowded space, right, like an airplane or a subway or whatever, any airborne contaminants are hitting that oil of oregano in your mouth as you're breathing in. Whereas with a capsule, you know, you're actually not filtering quite as readily through the oregano.
That's a great point. And yeah, I mean, I've spilled so much of this stuff that I smell like a pizza no matter where I go anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, and to your point, you know, I started just chew it. The capsules are gel caps, so I just chew them now. So
oh, there
I'll pop
you go.
Them in, and then you get a similar effect. But yeah, so best way to go, just couple drops in an ounce of water and you're good to go. So that's kind of my big thing that I've been doing for years. But I also take a lot of liposomal glutathione and vitamin C when I'm on the road, which I think I took from you. And then when you get off the plane, you do the activated charcoal that I know I ripped off of you. And
yeah,
then,
although the activated charcoal, the one thing you have to be careful of is if you're taking supplements or you're doing something like going out, and this is another thing I'll recommend, like a really sulfur rich meal that has like garlic and broccoli and cauliflower and any sulfur based glutathione precursors in it to fight the type of oxidation that builds up during airline travel. You want to separate your activated charcoal from any of your meals or your other supplements, because it'll tend to absorb not just the bad stuff from the bloodstream, but also the good stuff. So the timing is important with the charcoal. You're preferably doing it like in a fasted state on an empty stomach or separate from any other supplements that you take.
Yeah, without it. And so I've been doing at least, 5 or 10 minutes, but what do you recommend in terms of if I'm getting off the plane, dropping some charcoal? Yeah,
at least 60 minutes.
60. All right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm kind of careful. A lot of times when I'm on a plane, I'm not eating a ton anyway. So if I do the charcoal, like right when I get off the plane, it'll be a good hour before I'm at the local Whole Foods, making myself a big ass salad with a bunch of garlic and broccoli on it. So I've got some time, but yeah. Yeah, the separation. What about vitamin C? What are you using for vitamin C?
I do Livon, which I am not endorsed by Livon, but we'll talk about Livon Labs vitamin C. There are these little packets that travel really well. It's almost like a gel, and you just kind of – I just eat it basically. I just put the wrapper in my mouth, pull it out, leave the vitamin C in there, and tip it back with a little bit of water. It does not dissolve or mix in water well at all. You end up wasting half your packet, and they're $1 or $2 each. So just kind of eat it and then just swish that back. I take that. I'll take a month off of the vitamin C every couple of months, but generally I'm taking that throughout the year.
And similar to the glutathione, that's lipospheric. So it's fat soluble and it actually absorbs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unlike a lot of the vitamin C's, the emergencies, whatever else is out there, the liposomal stuff, you'll feel them. You can feel the difference. You take it for a week or two. It's like, you know, this stuff is
liposomal or lipospheric. They're kind of doing the same thing. Anything like that is going to be a little bit more, more fat soluble for things that would normally be water soluble, like vitamin C or glutathione. So yeah, solubility is definitely important for sure. That's why, the cannabidiol, for example, that I use. Cannabidiol is actually very fat soluble. Unlike vitamin C or glutathione, it's got the opposite issue, right? Like it's not very soluble in water, so it'll get into the fat-based tissues in your body, but not into the water-based tissues. So that's why I do like the nanoparticle-based CBD, because it's actually water soluble, so it gets into the sections of your body other forms of cannabidiol normally wouldn't. So
right. Have to give that a shot.
Yeah. So anyways, another thing that, of course, I know that you do quite a bit of, I think you and I hung out for the first time at the Ancestral Health Symposium a couple of years ago in Berkeley, California. And right. And by the way, there's another Ancestral Health Symposium coming up in Boulder, Colorado that I'll be at. Those are very cool. Those of you listening in, the Ancestral Health Symposium is like a very didactic-based lecture and poster immersed conference, basically, but it's a little bit geekier than say like a Paleo FX or a Fitness Expo or anything like that. It's very steeped in research and poster presentations, and I don't know, am I describing that in the right way, Joe?
No, you're right on. I mean, it's a deep dive. There are some very heavy hitters there, and the audience are ready. They're ready for the next big thing that won't really hit the news channels in the mainstream for another year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Right. And the AHS 2016 is, it's in, Boulder. And so, that'll be a good event. But anyways, when I met you at the one in Berkeley, I remember, everybody was basically like staying in the dorms in Berkeley. And when you got there, I think you were like running up and down the stairs doing burpees, at each landing or something like that. Some body weight workout. And I know that you have methods to keep yourself in shape when you don't have your ski erg. So what's your go-to body weight workout that you do when you're traveling or when you're in an airport or when you're somewhere where you don't have access to a good gym?
Yeah. So, I've got a few kind of go-tos. Number one, just like, it kind of ties into what we were saying earlier. I am big on kind of isometric stuff. So if I'm in the airport, I mean, I'll just drop down, put on a Rage Against the Machine song and hold a plank, a high plank, a high push-up, an FLR, whatever we want to call it. I'll do 5 minute holds of that. That's kind of a go-to. Like I said, if I'm waiting on my plane, I'll also do a lot of whatever position I can get myself into, whether it's a tripod headstand or whether it's I do a lot of planches now, and I'll do like a reverse Tabata planche. So I'll,
what's a planche?
So a planche is when you're kind of in a cannonball position with your hands on the ground. So you're supporting your entire body with just your hands, and your knees are tucked to your chest like a cannonball, and you're facing the floor, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You see this in yoga sometimes, like people will do a planche. I know a gymnast will do a planche with like their legs straight up behind them, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's
way too advanced for me.
Okay. Cool. I'll put some images of planching in the show notes for those of you who want to know what it looks like. But you'll do this in the airport. You'll just hold this planch position.
Oh yeah, definitely all the time. And I'll do reverse Tabata. So I'll do 10 seconds of work, 20 seconds of rest, because that's a seriously, after 3-4 minutes of 10-20 planching, you're pretty smoked.
That's an intense isometric hold, but I like this concept. I hadn't thought about doing this too much. I don't know why, but this concept of doing isometric holds, because frankly, you know, like I just posted a video to my Facebook page of me doing like sprints and skips and burpees in the airports with my kids, but sometimes that annoys people. Whereas holding isometric position seems like something that you could do without bugging too many of the other folks around you waiting at the gate.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? I get the random security screening often enough, so I try to stick with isometric stuff when I'm in the airport. But you know, that doesn't mean I'll do push-ups. I do a lot of EMOMs and stuff too. So I'll do, like, if I've got 20 minutes, I'll do 10 push-ups on the minute for 20 minutes, or 7 burpees on the minute for 20 minutes. I did that one recently at the Vatican, actually. There was like a 200,000 person line, and I did an EMOM standing right there because we weren't going to move for a couple hours. Yeah. So, and then 30-30s are my big favorite. So if you've got, you know, maybe you're out in a field, wherever you might be, probably not in the airport, but if you really want to get after it and you have absolutely no equipment, you know, pick 5, 6, 7 bodyweight exercises. So you've got push-ups, you've got lunges, you've got squats, you've got squat jumps, you've got lunge hops, you've got burpees, you've got hand release burpees, you've got isometric holds you could mix in, like a tripod headstand. And I'll just go 30-30. I'll typically do 2 or 3, 4 rounds of each movement before I switch. So
right.
It might be like 3 30-30s of squats. And I'll say that I have to get at least 22 reps each set of 30, right? And I'll do 3 of those, then switch exercises. And you can just repeat that all day if you want. So that's kind of if I really want to get after it, it's going to be a 30-30 kind of chipper with 5 or 6 exercises.
Nice. I like it. You publish a lot of your workouts online, don't you, somewhere?
Yeah, I do. So Instagram and stuff, I usually post the entire workout because I wonder if people care, but I typically post the highlight.
And you do that to your Instagram page primarily for your workouts?
Yeah, primarily Instagram.
What's your handle on Instagram?
Which is at JDI Spartan.
JDI Spartan. Okay, got it. I'll link to that in the show notes. By the way, speaking of doing burpees at the Vatican, did you know that the best gelato in the entire world is in the shop right outside the walls of the Vatican? And did you have a chance to go try it?
I should have assumed that, but I did not.
Okay, so for anybody listening in, Old Bridge Gelato is the name of the shop. And my wife and I researched this heavily prior to going to Rome because we're both gelato aficionados. And I do indeed actually travel, if I'm in Italy, with lactase digesting enzyme pills, because I'm not that great at digesting lactase, but I will not forego a good cone or cup of gelato. But it's called Gelato Old Bridge outside the Vatican for anybody who happens to be visiting the Vatican anytime soon and wants a little cheat meal. So
I have a cheat meal over there, and I read reviews. I said, you know what? I'm in Italy. I'm going bread. I'm going big. So I decided, after reading, you know, countless reports that Rome has the best pizza on the planet,
mm-hmm.
I decided that I would find the best pizza in Rome, because that means you're eating the best pizza in the world. And yeah. So I decided to go for that. And I did have that with a nice half liter of wine. And yeah. So
the carafe of wine, which is actually their house carafes of wine over there, are better than much of the very, very good wine in the States. You know, the thing about Italy and wheat and celiac disease is, you know, celiac is actually a growing issue in Italy, but it's because they've changed up their wheat production techniques to be very similar to what we're doing in the US now, where we're, for example, you know, genetically modifying these dwarf stalks so they can hold copious amounts of the actual wheat berry, and, you know, extremely concentrated amounts of gluten. You know, whereas like old world schools of growing wheat, you tend to get a little bit more natural amounts of gluten. You know, you tend to see like slow fermentation processes being used in the pastas and the breads and stuff like that. And a lot of places aren't doing so much of that anymore. And I think that's why celiac disease And pasta in general is becoming a bigger health issue in Italy. So, and you're Italian, right, Joe?
I am. Yeah. And I definitely will report, though, I can get away with eating more bread over there. So I'm a big believer in olive oil. I think olive oil, maybe it's because I'm Italian and I was raised drinking it, but I do believe that olive oil is if there was a magic bullet oil, right? And obviously coconut's great and butter's great but I think if we wanted to choose a oil that we could recommend to the absolute most people in high quantities, as you know, like all the APOE stuff and just the modern convention, the beliefs about saturated fat, I wonder if olive oil is sort of that kind of middle ground. I think it's very, very good for you. And I think that I suspect that using, even if you're, I don't want to sound crazy, but if you are eating bread, my thing is I'm gonna drown that slice of bread in olive oil. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be sopping. And I think that you get more benefit than harm if you're in Italy eating nice bread that was prepared well and it is absolutely soaked in olive oil. I think.
I'm a huge fan of olive oil for the reasons that you've described. The problem is real olive oil only gets into the U.S. Like it trickles in extremely small amounts. Like I don't know if you knew this, but olive oil is extremely adulterated in the U.S. So you get olive oil that's mixed with other vegetable oils. You get rancid olive oil. You get olive oil that has way fewer of like the polyphenols and the flavanols and a lot of this content that, you know, we don't know that much about gluten digestion, for example, but it could be that some of this stuff is protecting you against, you know, some of the potential deleterious effects and certainly against the blood sugar spiking effects of something like wheat. But I'm a member of this olive oil club. So have you heard of this before, Joe, this olive oil club?
I have, and although I'm not a member, I got a guy that hooked me up.
Okay, so you got a guy. I don't have a guy, but I'm a member of this club, and for any of you listening in, I'll put a link in the show notes, but it's like magic. Every 3 months, I get three enormous bottles of olive oil in these glass, non-transparent containers that show up at my house, and they're always from some different region of the world, like Chile or Argentina or Italy or Spain. And it comes with this booklet that walks you through the actual farm and the person who made the olive oil. And you dump it into like a shot glass and it's always like green or has like stuff floating in it. And it's like the real deal olive oil. And it tells you like the tasting notes and everything like that. So it's for people who geek out on olive oil, it's a pretty cool club to be a member of. So, it's called the Olive Oil Club. Anyways, though, let's get back to what I actually wanted to talk to you about, Joe, before we got sidetracked by coffee and enemas and the Prague method and breathing like a baby and car buffers on your abs and everything else. And that is detoxing, digital detox. So I know that you recently did some kind of a digital detox in Costa Rica, and you came back and seemed to be very excited about it. I think you were at my house like a week or two later. Can you go into what exactly that was all about, this digital detox that you did?
Yeah, you know, so there's this thing has just started. I've always kind of believed in this, you know, throughout the course of my life is that when you reach a point and we reach that point faster and faster in a kind of modern world, when you reach a point where you're just losing productivity because you are either tired or stressed or overstimulated, you got to take a break. You got to reset. And so kind of serendipitously, about 3 years ago, which was kind of what I call the hockey stick of Spartan Race. It's when we went from like 16 races to 80. You know, I think I was on 70 some odd flights, or it was high 60s, whatever the number was globally, right? So Spain, Australia, all these different places that were just really burning the candle at not just both ends, but there was wicks coming out of every which way. And I was definitely just really burnt out. So long story short is I got signed on to speak at an event in Costa Rica, which was super random for me. I wasn't doing a lot of speaking at that point. Someone was just like, hey, we want you to come speak on this topic. And so I said, sure, that's great. Booked my travel. Well, about 6 weeks out from that event, I get an email that the event, it was a small, intimate thing.
The host was extremely ill and she decided to postpone a few months. But I already had the time off. I had everyone squared away. I had my my itinerary. I had my travel and I needed the break. So I went down and by myself and ended up, because the event was canceled, I basically had this entire center to myself. I ended up meeting one other person. Her name is Jules. Maybe I'll get to her later. And so what I did was I said, I'm going to go down. I already have the time off. I am going to charge my phone, but I'm not going to bring the charger because I want to use this thing so little on this week that I'm not even going to need another charge. I'm going to save it for an emergency. I'm not even going to bring my computer. We're just going to detox this thing. I need a break because I identified that my phone and computer were sources of stress. I was super burnt out and I identified that I was at times checking my email just to elicit a stress response. And I was like, this is just madness.
It's addicting. So, people do it now every 4 minutes. That's actually how often most folks are now checking their phones, every 4 minutes. That's the entire day.
It's crazy, right? So I go down there and it was just magic. So I go down, I'm like, this is going to happen. I'm going to detox digitally here. I go down, I meet a woman named Jules, who is probably one of the best yoga instructors on the planet. Best yoga instructor I have ever met. She will teach an entire class in Sanskrit. Her energy is just palpable.
What kind of yoga?
She does kind of almost like a proprietary style that's a combination of a lot of different types, but it's primarily a hot vinyasa flow.
Okay.
With sort of notes of Bikram and notes of Baptiste and notes of other things. So it's a magical experience. So I meet with her. She's down there much to the same reasons as me. And we have this retreat center together. So basically what we ended up doing was we did yoga every morning and every afternoon. So we roll out of bed, different rooms, just to still any rumors, roll out of bed, you go have some tea or something, watch the sunrise, go do a 90, sometimes we would go up to 2 hour flow yoga session. Then I would leave and I would go ziplining. I would go paragliding. I would go hiking. I would go waterfall rappelling. I would get some insane spa treatment that you can't even find in the US, maybe like visceral manipulation, or there's a few others I can speak to. Then I'd come back, do another yoga session with Jules. All the while, we were eating just the most amazing organic foods, professionally prepared by ridiculously talented chefs. It was just an amazing week. And I did it for 8 days. And honestly, it was funny because
eight days.
8 days of that. No phone, no computer.
How many hours a day were you actually doing the yoga part?
There were days that we would do 5 hours. There were days that we would do 2 hours. There were days.
I've always wanted to do something like that where you're just doing, I mean, this sounds like, you know, some couple of I guess you might say like metrosexual pampered men talking to each other. I've always wanted to do 5 hours of yoga, like just like day after and just see what happens to my body. So that's really interesting. So what happened?
It's seriously amazing. But and also keep in mind too, on days that we would do 5 or 6 hours of yoga, which is a lot for some people, there might be a 2 hour block where we just worked on handstand patterning. We just worked on kind of drills and skills to improve our yoga practice. So it's not like you're flowing for 6 straight hours, but the effects on your body are just unbelievable. But so anyways, if you imagine this, you go from like this high strung, I'm traveling too much, I'm not sleeping enough, I'm burnt out, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm aggravated all the time, whatever the problem is. And then you just dump yourself into the jungle for 8 days. I came back just the only word to describe it is reset. It was in December. So it was right before 2014 or 20, whatever it was. And I decided about a week after I got back, which is probably around the time I saw you, like the world needs this. You know what? So you were actually a year after this. But I said, the world needs this. So I said, I'm going to go back. I called up that same place and I said, I want to go back next year and I'm going to bring 20 or 30 friends.
And what was the name of this place?
Well, my event is called Runga.
It takes place at this center in Costa Rica that you were at doing all this yoga and stuff.
Exactly. It takes place at a place called Pura Vida, which is in Alajuela, Costa Rica.
Pura Vida. Okay.
And so I went back the following year, brought 30 people with me, and we mimicked exactly what I had done with Jules organically. And of course, Jules came back. I invited a couple other rock stars like kettlebell gurus from the RKC and SFG. brought some running coaches that work with really high-end athletes all the way down to average folks, some rehab people so people could get just remarkable treatments, whitewater raft guides from the States that just are rock stars. And so we ended up having about 22 guests and about 8 staff members. Every single one of them was just a rock star. And we just did it again. We did it for 8 days. And we're actually, I think you might be coming. I'm going back this year and we're going to bring 30 people.
Oh, I mean, when you told me about it, I really, really wanted to come. I guess the clincher for me was I have to talk my wife into it. And I'm pretty sure she'd be up for doing 5 to 6 hours of yoga a day along with these other. So you're doing a bunch of these other things that you talked about, right? Like the zip lining and the white water and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about Runga, the way that it's evolved is it is a digital detox, but it's designed to give people, it's like a choose your own adventure. So we're going to put all of this stuff. We have twice daily yoga, zip lining, waterfall rappelling, hiking, whitewater rafting. Yes. We have all this stuff. But one important thing that I kind of tell people the day they arrive is that you need to do whatever you want to do. So if you want to do once a day yoga, you go ahead and do that. If you want to go zip lining, but you don't want to go whitewater rafting, I need you to finish this week, reset. I want you to do everything that you need to do. So
yeah, that's important, because that's one thing that annoys me sometimes when I go to these conferences is you're obligated to join into this strict schedule when half the time, you know, I would imagine after doing 4 hours of yoga or whatever, you just want to go curl up in your hotel room for a 2-hour nap because you don't have your cell phone and no one's there to bother you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing, man. You really start to gain perspective. So having brought 22 people last year that were just, you know, not really understanding maybe what they were getting themselves into, here's how it goes. It's like day one, they're shocked because you really are going to take their cell phone and put it in a safe deposit box for the week. Yes. Okay, so they're a little bit shocked. Day two, they kind of got that anxiety. They're reaching for their pocket. They're stare crazy. I'm telling you, on the 8th day, they do not want their phone back.
So you actually take the phone when people come in?
We actually take the phone. It's safe. Wow. There's 1,000 phones around if there was ever an emergency. We've got all the phones we need on staff. And I did do it willingly. I let people last year, like, if you're really not comfortable with it, you know, I know, I understand some people have kids and all that. Like, I'm not going to force you, but I urge you to put your phone in the box. And yeah, almost everybody did.
Awesome.
But it's, you start to realize the effects, the preoccupations, the amount of time that you spend thinking instead of searching for something to think about, if that makes sense, or the time that you allow your brain to calm. And honestly, like you said, sometimes you do a 2-hour yoga class, you feel tired. More often than not at Runga, because of the environment, you sometimes might, but honestly, the energy is so different. You have, by the third or fourth day, it's a completely new you. It's a completely new mindset. You're in a new place. I can't even explain it. But the last thing I'll say to kind of tie this all up is that we want you to get in touch with your primal side, right? So we'll split a couple bottles of wine at dinner or among the crowd or whatever, but then we will get at night when it's dark, we will get an absolute raging bonfire going and we'll bang drums. A couple people will dance around the fire. It's an amazing primal experience that all I can say is that it resets you. And when you come back, you're looking at things a lot differently.
Nice, nice. I like it. Now, I have it blocked out in my calendar to be there. I personally plan on going. I also plan on bringing Jessa, possibly bringing the boys. But yeah, man. I mean, what Bluetooth does to your blood-brain barrier, what Wi-Fi can do to your cells' electrochemical signaling. I mean, there's more and more research coming out about this. One of the best guys to follow, in my opinion, to get the most cutting edge information in terms of what electromagnetic radiation can do to your body is Dr. Jack Cruz, who's constantly putting out blog posts that dig into European research that, frankly, we don't even see in the U.S. when it comes to what this stuff can actually do to your body. And so this concept of a digital detox, you know, the reason I felt so good when I came out of the Grand Canyon, the reason I want to rinse, wash, and repeat the experience down in this Costa Rica location that Joe went to, is because we really, really need to do this for our bodies and for our brains. Joe, is there, to finish up here, a website, anything like that, that you want to share with folks to allow them to get in on this thing? Is there like a limited number of people? When do people need to register by? Just give us the details on this.
Yeah. So, well, the dates are December 3rd through the 10th. The website is runga2016.com. All the information is there. One thing I didn't mention is last year, you know, we had a lot of support from really cool sponsors like Bulletproof Coffee and Epic Bar. And this year I haven't announced all of our sponsors yet, but this is actually the first sponsor I'll announce is just for your guest, Ben, Human Charger, which is a product.
Oh, yeah.
You actually introduced me to them. And
yeah, it's the in-ear light therapy for resetting your circadian rhythm.
You got it. So they are coming on board this year. And actually, everybody that registers before July 15th is going to get a Human Charger. And you don't even have to use a code. Just starting today, everyone's going to get a Human Charger. The bad news is that there is actually already about 23 people registered. So I'm capping it at 30 because I don't think many more than that. I don't want to change the experience. So there aren't a ton of spots left. So folks that want to get in should register soon. Just read up on the website. Send us an email if you have questions. The perk is you're going to get a Human Charger, which is a super cool device that we'll actually kind of talk about at Runga.
Awesome. Cool, man. I love it. Well, I will put a link to the Runga retreat in the show notes. I've also been taking a ton of notes on everything that we talked about, the planching position, Gelato Old Bridge, the vitamin C, your TED Talk, the coffee makers, everything. So if you're listening in, first of all, block out December 3rd through 10th. It sounds like you might be one of, I guess, 7 lucky people who are going to get in. Considering 90,000 people will listen to this episode, we'll see if you make it in. If so, I'll see you in Costa Rica in December. But everything, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/JoeD to get access to. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/Joe. The letter D. And Joe, it's always awesome geeking out with you, man.
Hey, right back at you, Ben. Always a pleasure, man.
All right, folks. Well, cool. By the way, for those of you listening in who are also interested in Joe's coaching certification programs for Spartan, et cetera, consider joining me in Dallas. I'll be down in Dallas literally the week after this podcast comes out. They're doing Joe's SGX coaching certification. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. There's a few more going on around the globe if you want to become like an obstacle course racing specialist. So check those out. Everything else, bengreenfieldfitness.com/JoeD. Joe, I'll catch you later, man.
Take it easy, Ben.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.